You're listening to the Mens Rea podcast, and this is the story of Nora Sheehan. Tuesday, June 9th, 1981, 23-year-old James Sheehan was at work when he received a disturbing phone call. On the other end of the line was the man who owned the local shop near his home in Ballyfahan, County Cork. James had been away on holiday with his wife and in-laws in Oonahinchea and had been making the hour-long commute to work from the seaside town for the last few days, so he hadn't been home to Ballyfahan since the week before. The shopkeeper told James that something had happened at home and that he needed to get back quickly as his father, James Sr., wanted him. He left his workplace and rushed back to Ballyfahan, where he found his father in a distressed state. James Sr. told him that his mother, Nora, had left the family home to attend hospital for a dog bite 3 days before and hadn't returned since. There was some age difference between the couple, and while Nora was a fit 54-year-old, her husband was a frail man in his late 70s. At the time, it wasn't unusual in Ireland to lack a telephone in the home. James Sr. had waited helplessly for his wife to return before finally going to the local shop for help on the morning of June 9th. Upon learning of his mother's disappearance, James Jr. took his father to Tohar Garda Station, where they filed a missing persons report before commencing their own search of the area. The pair called to all known friends and acquaintances of Nora, asking if anyone had seen her, but nobody had. Nora was born and raised in the tiny rural village of Crookstown, County Cork, but had settled in the suburbs of Cork City after marrying in the 1960s. Having worked as a care assistant in Our Lady's Psychiatric Hospital, the mother of three was regarded highly for her kind and gentle disposition, and her chatty nature meant she was well known in the area. However, she had sustained a head injury in a fall at work a number of years before, which had led to her developing what her family said were, quote, eccentric habits. This vulnerability amplified the sense of urgency as the search for Nora continued without any success. Tohar Gardaí launched a missing persons inquiry, making a public appeal for anyone who had seen Nora Sheehan to come forward. Officers established that on the evening of June 6th, she was bitten on the arm after attempting to stop a fight between two dogs. The bite was significant, and as a result, Nora had made the 30-minute walk to South Infirmary Victoria Hospital, where she was seen in the A&E department at around 9:45. The nurse who treated her said that Nora was dressed formally and that she seemed agitated. She declined to have stitches, but allowed the nurse to administer a tetanus shot and to dress the wound. A number of witnesses came forward to Gardaí claiming to have seen Nora at various locations between the hospital and Ballyfahan over the course of that night and into the early hours of the following morning. She was waving and smiling at cars as they passed, though she didn't seem to be flagging them down. This was something that Nora was known to do since she had suffered her head injury, and a number of the witnesses who saw her that night were familiar with her, so they didn't find her behaviour out of the ordinary. The last known sighting of Nora was at 4:05 a.m. at the junction of Vickers Road and Tohar Road, after which the mother of three seemingly vanished. Tohar Gardaí continued their inquiries over the next few days but turned up no new leads. James Jr. returned to the station on a number of occasions to see if any progress had been made, but there were no updates on the whereabouts of his mother. As the days passed with no developments, the Sheehan family became increasingly frantic. On the afternoon of June 12th, two forestry workers were searching rural woodland at Chapul Woods, a 30-minute drive from where Nora Sheehan was last seen, when they came across what they thought was a dead animal in the undergrowth. However, on closer inspection, They realized with horror that it was the body of a partially dressed woman lying on her back. The workers rushed by tractor to the nearby village of Vinishannon to raise the alarm with Garda John O'Sullivan. Garda O'Sullivan was the only officer on duty in Vinishannon that afternoon, and because a walkie-talkie radio system wasn't yet implemented for Gardaí in Ireland, he had no way of quickly contacting his colleagues in neighbouring stations for backup. For this reason, he deputised his wife to accompany him to the scene at Chapul Woods, and together with the two forestry workers, he drove the twisting road up into the woods to an area known as the Viewing Point. Once there, the forestry workers directed Garda O'Sullivan toward a steep slope that stretched down to the Bandon River. The area was overgrown, and Garda O'Sullivan used a hurl to beat a pathway through the briars as he descended toward the riverbank. He stopped when he reached a patch of overgrowth that had been recently flattened, not wanting to disturb any potential evidence. From where he stood, he could see a navy overcoat lying in the briars near to the bank of the river. He circled around the area carefully until he saw the woman's body. Her navy dress was pulled up over her head, and a pair of nylon stockings clung to her left foot. A single buckled shoe lay on the flattened grass nearby. As he had no way of calling for backup from the scene, he instead sent his wife and the two forestry workers to the Garda station in nearby Bandon to tell them about the discovery of the body, while he stayed behind to preserve the scene. Within hours, the scene at Chapul Woods was teeming with officers. The area was sealed off, and officers from the Garda Technical Bureau were drafted in from Dublin to assist the investigation, and they began the painstaking work of combing through the dense undergrowth surrounding the body. By chance, a forensic scientist named Dr. Timothy Creedon was holidaying in Vinishannon, and on hearing about the discovery of the woman's body, he attended the scene in an observational capacity. Dr. Creedon worked in the biological section of Forensic Science Ireland, which was the laboratory tasked with analysing samples collected from crime scenes, so he was naturally curious and keen to observe what was happening in the woods. Pathologist Dr. Robert Dermot Coakley attended the scene at 8:35 p.m. that evening. He made a number of notes detailing in particular the positioning of the woman's body, but as it was late in the evening, he decided it would be better to return the following day for a preliminary examination. He attended the scene for a second time the next morning, where he observed a bundle of loose clothing lying on the upper part of the body. The woman's dress had been pulled over her trunk and head, but had caught on her jawbone as the zip was still fastened. The body had clearly been exposed for a number of days in the June heat, meaning decomposition and animal predation had already begun. Numerous flies and larvae were present on the face and in the hair, and there was evidence of rodent damage to the left hand. The body was brought to Cork City Morgue, where it was identified by members of the Sheehan family as Nora Sheehan. A full post-mortem commenced with Dr. Coakley documenting bruising over Nora's cheekbones, forehead, left lower jaw and lip. He noted that the bandage was still intact on the bite wound on Nora's left upper arm, and there were scratches to the buttocks area, which Dr. Coakley surmised were likely caused by the briars. Pathologist also found bruising to the vagina, and he typed up a draft report of his findings, adding a handwritten note with the conclusion that Nora Sheehan died as a result of asphyxia in the course of a sexual assault. Various swabs were taken from the body and sent away to be forensically tested for traces of semen and other bodily fluids. The man tasked with developing and analysing the swabs was Dr. Creedon, who had attended the scene at Chapul Woods. The swab taken from the vagina yielded traces of semen, so Dr. Creedon used the material to create a sealed microscopic slide, which was subsequently archived and stored in a cabinet in the forensic science laboratory. Similar slides were created from the anal and oral swabs taken from Nora's body. Meanwhile, Nora's navy dress, brown tights, and navy overcoat were also examined at the FSI lab, where loose debris from the surface of the woman's clothing was collected using sellotape. This yielded numerous black and brown fibres, along with fragments of metallic paint in a number of colours. Particles of red foam were also collected from the dress and tights. By this time, a full murder investigation was in progress, operating out of an incident room at Bandon Garda Station. A team of 60 Gardaí moved across what were considered to be three key areas in the investigation: Bandon, Inishannon, and the locations in and around Cork City where Nora was known to have been on the night she disappeared. Door-to-door inquiries had produced some valuable information, but there were gaps in the sightings of Nora that officers were keen to clarify. The investigation team were also anxious to find Nora's missing handbag, hat, and left shoe. 4 days after the discovery of Nora Sheehan's body in Chapul Woods, an Opel Kadett car was stopped at the Curraheen Road in Cork by Gardaí who were investigating the robbery of a post office in the area. The driver of the car was a 32-year-old man named Noel Long, a biker who lived with his wife and two young sons in the Bishopstown area of Cork. Long had a number of previous convictions for burglary and sexual offences, spanning back to his late teens. Superintendent Matthew Thorne sat into the front passenger seat of Long's car, directing him to drive to the Bridewell Garda Station in Cork City, where he was questioned in relation to the post office robbery. However, as members of the Garda Technical Bureau examined Long's Opel Kadett for potential evidence related to the robbery, they found something else entirely. Sellotape lifts from the car's interior revealed a vast amount of evidence linking the car not to the robbery, but instead to the murder of Nora Sheehan. Various fibres and debris were taken from the car and sent for testing. Black viscous fibres lifted from the interior mats of the vehicle matched samples taken from the dress and coat of Nora Sheehan. Along with this, the blue metallic paint of the Opel Kadett matched the fragments that had been recovered in evidence from Nora's clothing. Debris recovered inside the car contained flecks of green and blue paint that matched paint that was clinging to the tights of the murdered woman when her body was discovered. Metallic shavings of a similar nature were also found in both the car and on the tights of Nora Sheehan. This evidence, combined with Long's criminal history, made him a strong suspect in the eyes of Gardaí. His descent into criminality began at the age of 17 when he was given 9 months' detention in St. Patrick's Institution for stealing cars and jewellery. Following his release, he travelled to the UK where he continued his criminal endeavours, eventually being charged with burglaring a number of houses in Wales. He avoided a jail term for these offences by agreeing to return to Ireland, which he did for a period of time. However, he soon tired of living in his home city of Cork and instead moved to Northern Ireland to join the Royal Irish Rangers, which was an infantry regiment in the British Army. In 1969, at the age of 20, Long travelled to Catterick Army Camp in Yorkshire with his regiment. Unable to keep his nose clean, he was soon in trouble again when he climbed up the drainpipe of his commanding officer's house and broke into the upstairs bedroom of the colonel's 18-year-old daughter. The young woman woke in terror to find Long lying across her in bed, kissing her on the mouth. She screamed, causing Long to flee the scene, stealing a car as he went. He was later caught and charged with burglary and indecent assault, but this was later reduced to common assault in court when the prosecution accepted Long's claim that he was only trying to quieten the girl. For these crimes, he served 6 months' detention in the UK before returning to Ireland. Back in Cork, he completed an apprenticeship as a welder, but found himself in trouble again in 1971 when he was charged with having unlawful carnal knowledge of a girl in Youghal, resulting in a 12-month prison sentence. Detectives questioned Long about Nora Sheehan's murder over the course of 2 days, but he denied any involvement, claiming that he didn't know the woman. While he was in custody, Long gave a voluntary blood sample, which was stored in evidence. His house was searched and officers seized a brown jumper belonging to him for further testing. Upon examination, the jumper was found to contain acrylic fibres identical to ones found on Nora Sheehan's clothes. By now, detectives were sure that they had strong proof that Nora Sheehan had been in Noel Long's Opel Kadett, but their main suspect continued to deny any knowledge of the murder. When asked about his movements between June 6th and 7th, Long told the officers that he had met with his friend, Donal Boyle, on the evening of June 6th. He had walked his dog later that night at around 11:30 and the following morning he had met up with Donald Boyle again to go diving. Much to the frustration of the officers, this account was backed up by both Boyle and a neighbour of Long's who had seen him walking his dog late on the night of June 6th. He was ultimately released without charge. As Long had originally been detained in relation to a robbery and not Nora Sheehan's murder, detectives didn't release the information about the arrest to the media. However, without naming Long as a suspect, a senior Garda made an unusually direct appeal in the media, saying, quote, "Somewhere in Cork City or County there are people who know the culprit's identity. We would appeal to these people to come forward. While a number of people have come forward, we believe that there are others who have information, but who, for one reason or another, have not yet contacted us." The day after Long's release from custody, a press conference was held at Bandon Garda Station to outline the case to waiting reporters. For the first time since Nora's disappearance, senior officers laid the facts bare, detailing the story of the dog bite and her visit to the South Infirmary. Reporting for the Irish Examiner, Dennis Redding detailed the conference, writing that Gardaí were anxious to trace Nora's movements in the aftermath of her hospital visit. Officers described the area where Nora's body was found, at the bottom of a steep slope, behind a 3-foot wall that was just 20 feet from the main roadway. Detective Superintendent John Butler told the press, quote, "Mrs. Sheehan was a decent lady going about her business. She was the victim of a callous murder. Somewhere around, there is a killer on the loose, and we are most anxious to find the person." As the murder inquiry entered its second week with no new leads forthcoming, investigators again renewed their appeal for Nora's missing left shoe, which was described as a beige court-style shoe with a half heel and gilt buckle. Photographs of the right shoe were printed across nationwide newspapers, with Gardaí saying that the recovery of the shoe could be very important and answer a lot of questions. However, once again, this appeal turned up no new information. Detectives felt that the forensic evidence that Nora Sheehan had been in Long's car was too strong to ignore, and they wanted to question Long again. However, they had no legal basis to arrest him. Despite this, on July 6th, a month to the day after Nora Sheehan was last seen alive, they brought him into the station outside of a formal arrest, under the guise of helping the Gardaí with their inquiries. He was questioned by Detective Sergeant Gerry O'Carroll, who at the time was a member of the close-knit group of heavy-handed detectives known as the Murder Squad, or the Heavy Gang. When asked if he had picked up anyone in his Opel Kadett in the past month, Long told detectives that nobody except his wife had been in his car for the previous year. Detective O'Carroll told him that they had, quote, "incontrovertible forensic proof" that Nora Sheehan was in his car. This took Long by surprise, and he allegedly blurted out that he had picked Nora up, saying, quote, "I did pick her up. I'm sorry for her family. I'm sorry for my family. I didn't believe it was happening." When asked what he meant by this, Long replied, "I can't say anymore," before lapsing into silence. The following day, Noel Long was brought to Cork District Court, where he was charged with the murder of Nora Sheehan. The case against Long seemed cut and dry, and detectives felt that there was enough forensic evidence to ensure a successful conviction. However, a month after Long's arrest, the investigation suffered a major blow when Dr. Robert Dermot Coakley, the pathologist who performed Nora's post-mortem, died suddenly. This posed a huge problem for the prosecution's case because, at the time in Ireland, there was no law in place to state that evidence from a deceased person could be used in trial. This meant that Dr. Coakley's post-mortem report was not admissible in evidence, and so the prosecution team believed that they couldn't prove a cause of death. On November 10, 1981, the charges against Noel Long were withdrawn, and to the dismay of investigating officers, he was released. Detectives were powerless as they watched Long walk free from the court, giving them the fingers as he strutted past. In May of 1982, an inquest was held into the death of Nora Sheehan in Bandon Coroner's Court. During the proceedings, the coroner heard from Superintendent Edward Hogan, who said that he had spoken directly to Dr. Coakley following the post-mortem. Superintendent Hogan told the court that the pathologist had pointed out the way that Nora Sheehan's dress had been pulled up over her head without the zip being opened. Dr. Coakley demonstrated how the neck opening was too small for the dress to pass over Nora's head while zipped up, telling the superintendent that the force had caused pressure, which resulted in asphyxia. Inspector Noel O'Sullivan of Bandon Garda Station read notes made by the pathologist after the post-mortem. Dr. Coakley had recorded his opinion that death was due to asphyxia caused by suffocation in the course of a sexual assault. He added that Nora's death had occurred 4 to 7 days before his examination. The coroner, Dr. C.F. O'Connell, said that it was a, quote, slightly difficult case and that there was no question of a trial. However, he maintained that they would have to be careful not to preempt any other proceedings. Ultimately, the jury returned a verdict in accordance with the medical evidence. Just 9 months after Noel Long walked free from Cork District Court, Gardaí's fears were realised when another woman was attacked in Cork. According to an article written by Barry Roach for the Irish Times, a young woman in her 20s was hitching to Kinsale on the August bank holiday weekend when she was picked up by a man in a mint green VW camper van. This was the same make, model and colour of the vehicle Noel Long was driving at the time. The man drove the woman to a secluded spot in Kinsale and attacked her viciously, punching her repeatedly in the head before attempting to strangle her. He then sexually assaulted her and dumped her by the side of the road at 4 a.m. The woman was taken to hospital in Cork, where she was treated for her injuries. A DNA swab was taken from her in the hope that it might lead to the identification of her attacker. However, the victim was so traumatized by the assault that she decided not to pursue charges. A retired detective who was familiar with the case later told Barry Roach, quote, "We had no doubt it was Long from the woman's description of the man and his mint green VW camper. We had DNA samples and we took a 26-page statement from her, but she was so traumatized, she didn't want to proceed with the complaint and he got off again." In 1991, Long appeared once again before Cork Circuit Criminal Court, this time on charges of indecent assault. It was the prosecution's case that in 1989, Long had called to the Fermoy home of his victim and asked her for a glass of water before indecently assaulting her. The woman, who was in her 30s, was especially vulnerable as she had special needs. Gardaí obtained a direction from the DPP to charge Long with indecent assault, but unfortunately, despite being able to point out her attacker in a pretrial hearing, she was unable to answer any questions under cross-examination. So the DPP was obliged to enter a nolle prosequi. For officers investigating the murder of Nora Sheehan, it was extremely frustrating to watch their main suspect slip through the net time and time again, seemingly by pure chance. Time passed without any further developments in the case, and although Gardaí were always certain that the case was solvable, this notion seemed further and further away as the years turned to decades. Meanwhile, Nora's family and loved ones endured the ongoing anguish of knowing that her killer was walking free, getting on with his life, while they suffered the agony of injustice without any closure. In 2007, the Serious Crime Review Team was established in Dublin with the aim of reopening and reviewing murder cases that had remained unsolved for a significant period of time. The specialist team was made up of 8 highly trained officers, and they soon identified a number of key cases that they believed could benefit from a fresh analysis. Among these cases was the murder of Nora Sheehan. The cold case team set about re-examining the evidence in the case. Since Nora's murder in 1981, there had been huge advances in DNA technology, and thankfully, the slide created from the vaginal swab taken during her post-mortem had been preserved. The sample of material contained a small amount of DNA, but because testing for such samples was not carried out in Ireland, the slide was instead sent to a specialist laboratory in the UK, where a partial profile of Nora Sheehan's killer was successfully developed. A profile was also developed from the blood sample which was given voluntarily by Noel Long in 1981, and it was found to match the partial profile from the semen found on Nora Sheehan's body in the aftermath of her murder. However, as the review team examined the details surrounding Long's arrest in July 1981, they realized that he had been detained in breach of his constitutional rights, meaning that the blood sample would not be admissible in evidence. Once again, their protracted struggle to bring Long to trial for the murder was thwarted by a technicality. In August 2011, Long went on trial at Cork District Court for assaulting his sister, Julianne Moore. By now, he was in his 60s and was living in Passage West with his new partner. The assault charges arose from an altercation that took place in a hospital, where Moore claimed that Long attacked her after she refused to leave the hospital room as their mother lay dying. Long was eventually acquitted of the assault charge, but was convicted of engaging in threatening and abusive behavior. For this, he received a 3-month suspended sentence. In 2014, Long found himself in trouble again. He was using a hose to water plants in the garden of his home when a man named Brendan Murphy drove past. Long sprayed Murphy with the water through his open window, and when Murphy got out of his vehicle to object, Long turned the hose directly on him, soaking him. The pair exchanged verbal insults before Long picked up an iron bar and beat Murphy across the head with it. At trial, Long claimed that he had acted in self-defense as he was intimidated and frightened by Murphy. However, Judge Sean O'Donovan rejected this, saying, quote, "It is somewhat extraordinary to have a 65-year-old man before the court for assault. Normally, assault is the province of the young, hot-blooded, hot-tempered, and the foolish." A jury found Long guilty of assault causing harm, and he was sentenced to 12 months in prison. As a result of this conviction, Long was obliged by law to provide a DNA sample under the DNA Database Act, and this was also matched to the sample found on Nora Sheehan's vaginal swab. Unfortunately, although the collection of DNA was mandatory under the law, the samples collected were not allowed to be used in evidence, meaning detectives were still left with no legal grounds for arresting Noel Long. However, they were undeterred as they continued their painstaking review, looking for any new shred of evidence to further their case. In November 2021, more than 40 years after the murder, they finally got their break when a search warrant was authorized on Long's mid-terrace house in Passage West. During the search, a number of items of clothing were seized by Gardaí and taken away for testing. Among these was a black beanie hat belonging to Long, which was swabbed for DNA. A profile was developed from this, which once again matched the partial profile from the semen found on Nora Sheehan's body. According to an article written by Alison O'Riordan for the Irish Examiner in May 2022, Detective Inspector Eamon Brady contacted Long, explaining that he had new evidence regarding the murder that he wished to discuss. The detective told the suspect that he had no power to arrest or detain him, so any meeting would be on a voluntary basis. Long refused the offer, saying that he had kept his head down for 40 years and just wanted to get on with his life. However, his luck was finally about to run out. On June 28, 2022, as Long was preparing to set off on a motorcycle trip to Portugal, a team of detectives, led by Detective Inspector Brady, swooped on his house to take him into custody. Long appeared unfazed by the arrest and made no reply as the charge was put to him at a sitting of Skibbereen District Court. In July of 2023, a jury of 8 men and 4 women were sworn in, and the trial of Noel Long for the murder of Nora Sheehan finally opened at the Central Criminal Court before Mr. Justice Paul McDermott. The proceedings were covered extensively by Alison O'Riordan, reporting for the Irish Examiner and the Evening Echo. Although Long was now 74 years old, his years of regular fitness training had paid off and he looked much younger. As the family of Nora Sheehan attended the court diligently every morning, so did the partner of Noel Long, determined to stand by her man. In his opening statement, prosecution barrister Brendan Gretton told the jury that, given the passage of time since the murder occurred, many of the witnesses would no longer be available. Some who would give evidence, he said, are in or near their 90s. Describing the victim, the barrister related that Nora Sheehan had developed some eccentricities, which centred around an obsession with the hospital that she worked at. As a result, Mr. Grehan said, Nora was regularly seen near her home, waving at cars and talking to anyone and everyone about the goings-on at the hospital, which she was concerned about. He told the jury, quote, she would be described in modern parlance as a vulnerable person. Mr. Grehan detailed the events leading up to Nora's disappearance and how she came to be at the South Infirmary on the night that she disappeared, after she'd suffered the dog bite. He told the court that they would hear from witnesses who saw Nora between 9 p.m. on June 6th and 4 a.m. on June 7th, after which she was not seen alive again. Mr. Grehan then outlined the circumstances surrounding the discovery of Nora's body 6 days later and the injuries noted during the subsequent post-mortem performed by Dr. Coakley. However, despite the fact that the record of the post-mortem was allowed to be used as evidence in the trial, the deceased pathologist's opinion as to the cause of death could not be given to the jury. This meant that the prosecution would have the additional challenge of securing a conviction without a certain cause of death. Alluding to this, Senior Counsel Grehan told the court that the prosecution could not say precisely how Nora Sheehan died, but that they contended that she met her death by foul play. Mr. Grehan asserted, quote, that much is apparent from the fruits of the examination of Dr. Coakley, combined with the circumstances of the findings of her naked and bruised body, dumped a distance from the roadside in dense undergrowth. The barrister went on to recount the initial arrest of Noel Long 4 days after the discovery of Nora's body. He detailed the trove of evidence found in the Opel Cadet by the Garda Technical Bureau, and concluded his speech by referring to the DNA analysis that was conducted using the material from Noel Long's hat in November of 2021. The senior counsel said, quote, results from this analysis were sent to Dr. Whitaker, and he will say that it matched the semen recovered in Ms. Sheena's vagina. Using the calculation tools, the possibility that it originated from someone other than Mr. Long is 1 in 20,000, provided that they were unrelated to him. The trial was plagued with delays due to legal argument from the outset, and it had already been decided that the DNA matches established using Long's blood sample from 1981 and his subsequent sample uploaded to the DNA database in 2017 would not be admissible as evidence. As well as this, the prosecution were also prohibited from mentioning the fact that Long was originally charged with the murder back in 1981. Also admitted from the trial was the evidence of the brown jumper seized from Long's home in 1981, which matched the brown fibres on Nora Sheehan's clothing. These limitations, along with no certain cause of death, meant that the case would be largely circumstantial, and the state would need to build a strong picture in the minds of the jury to secure a conviction. The first civilian witness to give evidence was Nora's son James, who was by then 65 years old. James recalled that his mother worked in a psychiatric hospital and had suffered a fall, but he couldn't remember what part of her body she injured. When asked by the prosecuting barrister to characterize his mother in the years before she died, James replied that she was as the lawyer had described in the court hearing that morning. He elaborated by saying that Nora had been, quote, a bit eccentric. James said that his mother had a chip on her shoulder about how patients were treated at the hospital, and he recalled of her, quote, she would freely speak her mind. When asked about Nora's habit of waving at cars, James explained that his mother had been reared in a very small rural village where everyone saluted each other and, quote, everyone used to pick everyone up. Although she had lived in the city for much of her adult life, she still kept these country ways about her. Agnes Rice, who had treated Nora at the South Infirmary Hospital on June 6, 1981, gave evidence next. Ms. Rice, who had since retired from nursing, recalled that when Nora arrived at the A&E department, she was formally dressed in a blue coat and dress and was carrying a handbag. She also wore a hat with a ribbon, which she kept taking off and putting back on in a, quote, agitated way. Nora had had a significant dog bite to her arm with 4 teeth marks visible. The wound needed suturing, but Nora had declined to be stitched, so Agnes Rice had instead given her a tetanus shot and applied an antibiotic spray to the injury before dressing it. She told the jury that Noor was very grateful and had tried to leave some money in the donation box before leaving the hospital shortly before 10 p.m. Nora had struck her as being a, quote, vulnerable person. Patricia Sullivan told the court that she was in a car headed into town when she encountered Noor Sheehan at around 9:45 p.m. on June 6th. She said that Noor was smiling and waving at cars but didn't seem to be flagging them down. She told the prosecution that she didn't know Noor Sheehan but that she had recognized her when she saw the woman's photo published in a newspaper a few days later. John Murray, who had grown up near Ballyfahan, said that he was driving home from work in the early hours of June 7th when he had spotted Noor Sheehan standing in a green area at the junction of Vickers Road and the Toher Road. He knew Nora from the area, although he told prosecuting counsel that he had never spoken to her. According to John, she was, quote, waving at cars as they passed, which was a thing she did, he said. The last known person to have seen Nora alive was Brian Coleman. He gave evidence telling the court that he was 21 years old in 1981. Brian was leaving his girlfriend's house in Toher at around 4:05 in the morning when he saw a woman waving across the road. He went on to say that it struck him as strange to see a woman walking the streets on her own in a long overcoat at that time of night, and continued, quote, I thought it was unusual. Brian said that he thought Nora might have been trying to flag a taxi, but when none of the passing cars stopped, she started to walk up the road. On the second day of the trial, retired Garda Sergeant John O'Sullivan gave evidence. He had been the Garda on duty in Inishannon on the day that Nora's body was found. Although he was now 83 years old and had long since retired, Mr. O'Sullivan's memory of the day was clear and vivid. He recalled the two forestry workers arriving at the station in a tractor at around 3 p.m. that afternoon. They told him that they, quote, had a report to make and that it didn't look too good at all. He went on to tell the jury, quote, they said they were after finding something and that at first they thought it was a pig, but then found it was a body. O'Sullivan recalled deputizing his wife to accompany him, and they travelled with the forestry workers to the scene in Chapul Woods, where he had made his path down through the briars. When he saw the body, the retired sergeant said that he noticed a stench and blue bottles circulating. He described the positioning of Nora's body clearly, telling the court that her head was pointing down the slope toward the river and it was completely covered by her dress. It looked like there had been an attempt to remove the dress, and he could see scrape marks on the torso. Lawrence Barron gave evidence next. He was a detective with the Garda Technical Bureau back in 1981 and had been tasked with gathering evidence at Chapul Woods the day after the discovery of Nora's body. He described the scene to the jury, noting how the woman's blue floral dress was pulled up over her head and that the neck opening had been caught on her jawbone. Mr. Barron also detailed damage caused by predation and wildlife to various parts of Nora's body. On the fourth day of the trial, the jury heard how Dr. Robert Dermot Coakley had died suddenly just weeks after performing a post-mortem on Nora Sheehan's body. Teresa Hogan, who had worked with the pathologist, told Brendan Grehan that she was familiar with Dr. Coakley's handwriting, and when presented with Nora Sheehan's post-mortem report, she confirmed that the writing was that of the pathologist. Under cross-examination from Michael Delaney, senior counsel, Teresa agreed that the file had not been signed by Dr. Coakley, but she maintained that she recognized his handwriting from the document. The report was then read aloud for the court. Dr. Coakley noted that he had attended Chapul Woods at 8:35 p.m. on June 12th and observed a body of a woman lying partially on her back. He documented returning to the scene the following morning for a more in-depth examination of the scene. Nora's dress had been pulled over the trunk of her body and head, and upon lifting the garment away from the head, he noted he saw flies and larvae in the face and hair. A full post-mortem commenced later that evening at Cork City Morgue. Dr. Coakley recorded Nora to be 5'1" tall, weighing 9 stone 1 pound. Her left upper arm was bandaged and there was rodent damage to the left hand and little finger. Bruising was observed over Nora's cheekbones, forehead and lower left jaw, and there was also injury to the nose and lip, suggesting that she had been beaten prior to her death. The pathologist wrote that there were scratches to the buttocks which were likely caused by briars. On examination of the genitals, Dr. Coakley saw evidence of sexual assault, and he noted the presence of sperm, along with bruising to the anterior wall of the vagina. Following the recitation of the post-mortem, Joan Holland was called to give evidence. Joan had been 19 years old in 1981, and she lived near Nora Sheehan in Ballyfahan. On the night of June 6th, Joan's father had asked her for a lift to Albert Road, which was 1 kilometre from the South Infirmary Hospital. Joan and her boyfriend dropped him to the location at around 8:45 p.m, and as they continued up Boreen Manor Road, they stopped at the traffic lights outside the South Infirmary. Joan, who was in the front passenger seat, told the court that she could see Nora Sheehan standing at the junction waving to cars, and she remarked on it to her boyfriend. Joan recalled, quote, "I said that something was going to happen to her sometime with the way that she was going on. She didn't look as if she was going anywhere. She was just waving." Ms. Holland said she was used to seeing Nora around her home near Ballyfahan, but that on the evening of June 6th, she thought that she was, quote, "kind of far away from home." The oldest person to give evidence at the trial was retired Superintendent Matthew Thorne, who was 91 years old when he entered the witness box. He recalled stopping Noel Long on Curraheen Road in Bishopstown on the morning of June 16, 1981. Thorne told Brendan Grehan that he sat into the front passenger seat of Long's Opel Cadet and ordered him to drive to the Bridewell Garda Station in Cork City. The cadet, he said, was secured in the station yard while Noel Long was taken inside the station for questioning. Retired Detective Inspector Colm Dardis was next to testify. The 86-year-old had been attached to the ballistics section of the Garda Technical Bureau in 1981, and he had been called to the Bridewell station to inspect Noel Long's Opel Cadet. He noted that the car was well maintained and seemed to have been touched up regularly. The retired detective inspector testified, quote, "The inside of the car was well kept and appeared recently cleaned to me." Mr. Dardis detailed his examination of the car, telling the court that he took 44 surface lifts from the interior of the vehicle and its boot using adhesive tape. With a lot of the historic evidence against Noel Long deemed inadmissible, the prosecution's strategy leaned heavily on the weight of the forensic evidence. The trial was now entering an intensive phase during which a large amount of scientific evidence would be heard. On July 18th, Dr. Timothy Creedon entered the witness box. It was his preservation of the microscopic slide, created back in 1981, that gave the case its strongest forensic evidence. Dr. Creedon described his scientific background to the jury, telling them that he'd worked as a forensic scientist in the biological section of Forensic Science Ireland from 1977 until 1991. He recalled that it was purely coincidental that he happened to be holidaying in Inishannon when Nora Sheehan's body was found, and he told Brendan Grehan that he attended the scene in an observational capacity. Dr. Creedon said that he returned to work and that on June 14th, 2 days after Nora's body was found, he met a detective in Forensic Science Ireland from whom he received a number of exhibits. Among these exhibits were a vaginal swab, a mouth swab, and an anal swab taken from Nora Sheehan. Dr. Creedon examined the swabs and found semen on the vaginal swab, but not on the other two. He described putting material from each of the swabs on a centerpiece of glass before staining and sealing them. He told the jury that slides like this are often referred to as microscopic slides. Once he had created the three slides, Dr. Creedon said that he examined them under a microscope, and after this they were archived in a large cabinet by a senior technician. Under cross from Michael Delaney, Dr. Creedon agreed that in creating the slides, he would have removed part of the cotton bud used to take the swab. He also agreed that any remaining biological material would have been stored in a refrigerator before being returned to Gardaí. Mr. Delaney put it to Dr. Creedon that the remaining biological material from the vaginal swab was one of the exhibits that had since been lost, and the witness replied that he couldn't comment on that. He said that his sole task was to examine the swabs and record whether or not there was semen present on them. Although the trial seemed to be progressing steadily, it was not without drama. A lot of legal argument was going on in the background, with the jury regularly sent out of the courtroom so that the prosecution and defense teams could hammer out issues before the judge. The trial faced more upheaval when, at the end of the fourth day of proceedings, a note was handed to Justice Paul McDermott. As a result of the information conveyed in the note, the judge addressed the jury, telling them that one of their fellow jurors was being discharged and that the trial would continue before a jury of 11. The following day, the trial heard further forensic evidence from two retired scientists regarding the fibers and materials found both in Long's Opal Kadett and on the clothing of Nora Sheehan. Dr. Maureen Smith told the prosecuting counsel that she had worked in the biology department of FSI from 1979 to 2014. She said that her work largely entailed examining bodily fluids and textile fibers collected from individuals and crime scenes to determine if there was any potential link between the two. Dr. Smith recalled that she had received items of Nora Sheehan's clothing on June 17, 1981. The clothing consisted of a navy overcoat with white trim, a navy pinafore dress, and brown nylon stockings. Along with the clothing, she also received a sellotape lift, which had been taken from Nora Sheehan's shoe at the scene. Dr. Smith told the court that the following day, she received sellotape lifts taken from Noel Long's Opal Kadett, and she was tasked with investigating whether there was any link between Nora's clothing and the material collected from the Kadett. She explained, quote, any loose debris from the surface of Mrs. Sheehan's clothing was removed on sellotape lifts. When asked by Brendan Grehan what had been recovered from Nora Sheehan's coat, Dr. Smith said she had removed 9 black viscose fibres, which matched fibres from the carpet inside the Kadett. She said that 4 black viscose fibres were also found on Nora's dress. 20 were found on her tights and 2 were found on nail scrapings taken from Nora's right hand. All of these fibres matched the fibres lifted from the carpet in the Kadett. Dr. Smith said that in addition to these fibres, fragments of blue metallic paint were also found on Nora's clothing and on the sellotape lift taken from her shoe. These paint flecks matched the paint from the body of the Kadett. 26 fragments of green paint were also found clinging to Nora's tights, along with other fragments of blue and white paint. These paint particles matched paint fragments collected from debris in the boot of the Kadett. A number of tiny pieces of red foam were also removed from Nora's dress and tights, matching pieces of foam that were found in the Kadett. The next witness was retired forensic scientist Dr. Sheila Willis, who was a colleague of Dr. Smith's. Dr. Willis worked as a forensic scientist at FSI before going on to become the director general of the laboratory. She told the court that in 1981 she worked in the chemistry section of FSI and that her job was to examine materials that might form an association between victims and suspects. When asked by Mr. Grehan about her findings with regard to the material found on Nora Sheehan's shoe, Dr. Willis said that fragments of the blue paint found on the shoe consisted of 3 layers, metallic blue, grey and dark grey. These fragments, she said, matched the sample of control paint from the body of the Opal Kadett in both colour and composition. Dr. Willis went on to explain, quote, in those days most car paints consisted of 3 layers, and it was possible to slice it in such a way that you could see the individual layers, check the individual colour, and check how they compared with fragments received from the clothes. Along with the blue paint, Dr. Willis said that she also examined a fragment of yellow and grey paint that had been recovered from Nora Sheehan's tights. This matched a fragment of paint taken from the Kadett and had the same layer structure and infrared system. The tights were also found to have a number of tiny metal shavings attached to them, which Dr. Willis said were similar to metal prills or pellets found in the car. Following the evidence from the two retired forensic scientists, the court heard from Amanda Lennon, who was a forensic scientist currently employed at FSI. Ms. Lennon explained that she had been tasked with reviewing the 1981 reports of Dr. Smith and Dr. Willis. She agreed with prosecuting counsel Grehan that she was doing so to investigate the question of whether or not Nora Sheehan was in Noel Long's Opal Kadett. Ms. Lennon said that in addition to the reports from 1981, she also had access to the fibers and paint samples from the Opal Cadet and Nora's clothing and nail scrapings. It was her professional opinion, after reviewing the reports of the physical evidence, that there was, quote, very strong support for the view that Nora Sheehan was in the Opal Cadet. The court then heard from Detective Inspector Eamon Brady from McCroom Garda Station. He was the senior investigating officer in the case in 2021 when a search warrant was executed on Noel Long's house at Passage West in Cork. Detective Inspector Brady recounted the operation, saying that he was greeted by Mr. Long's partner and brought into the living room of the house, where they were joined by Noel Long. A number of items of clothing that were being worn by Long at the time were seized, including his black biker boots, black socks, and a black beanie hat. Gardaí also took his razor and toothbrush. The sixth day of the trial opened with evidence from Dr. Breed Matina McBride, a forensic scientist employed by FSI since 1990. Dr. McBride told the prosecuting counsel that in April of 2008, she received three microscopic slides that had been created from the oral, vaginal, and anal swabs taken from the body of Nora Sheehan. These were the sample slides that had been created by Dr. Timothy Creedon in 1981. The slide containing the vaginal swab was given particular focus. The witness confirmed that there was, quote, quite a lot of semen on the slide. This slide was found to contain a small amount of DNA, but at the time in 2008, Dr. McBride said that FSI did not have the facility or ability to interpret low amounts of DNA. Because of this, a DNA profile could not be generated at the laboratory in Ireland. However, the witness was aware of a facility in the UK called Forensic Science Services that had the capacity to develop profiles from low amounts of DNA. Dr. McBride decided to send the vaginal swab slide to Dr. Jonathan Whittaker, a DNA expert who worked at Forensic Science Services in the UK. Dr. McBride described how on November 13, 2008, she gave the slide to Detective Garda Pádraig Hanley from the Serious Crime Review Team. She also gave him a bloodstain card from Nora Sheehan, which would allow the lab in the UK to isolate her DNA from any DNA found in the semen. Detective Garda Hanley gave evidence next, telling the court that the day after he received the slide and the card, he travelled to the FSS facility in Birmingham. He said that he returned to FSS to retrieve the exhibits and bring them back to Ireland in September 2010, almost 2 years after handing the items over. The final witness called by the prosecution that day was 81-year-old Donal Boyle. Donal Boyle had been a friend of Noel Long and had given statements to Gardaí in 1981 that he had met with Long on the evening of June 6th and then again at lunchtime on June 7th, when they went diving together. On the stand now, the witness told the prosecuting barrister that Long had called to his house on the evening of June 6th and had stayed for 30 minutes. When asked how Long had gotten to his house, Boyle responded that he had been driving his Opal Cadet. What the jury didn't hear from Boyle was that he had originally told Gardaí in 1981 that on the morning of June 7th, Boyle and Long had been due to meet at the Speckled Door pub near the Old Head of Kinsale for an organised dive, but that Long had turned up late. He said that the dive ultimately didn't go ahead because of the weather. When Gardaí, from the review team, approached Boyle in 2021, he stuck to his account. However, a number of days after the trial began in 2023, Boyle contacted Gardaí to say that he wanted to change his statement. He said that he had lied in his original account to officers and that Noel Long had actually failed to show up for the dive on June 7, 1981. In legal argument, the defense objected to this information being disclosed to the jury, and the judge agreed, therefore permitting Donal Boyle to speak only about meeting Long on the evening of June 6th. After Mr. Boyle's testimony concluded, the state's case was almost at its end, with just two witnesses left to give evidence. The first of these was Dr. Jonathan Whittaker, the UK DNA specialist who tested the vaginal slide in 2008. Dr. Whittaker told the court that he had developed a partial DNA profile using this slide. There were certain challenges involved in this process, as the sample was quite old and it had been taken from a decomposing body. Because of these factors, low copy number profiling was used, as it was a more sensitive technique that could detect smaller amounts of DNA from degraded samples. The witness said that the LCN method is no longer in use, as there has been further developments within the sector. He went on to detail the process of extracting the DNA from the slide, saying that a partial profile was developed using the seminal sample on the slide. When asked by Mr. Grehan why, in his opinion, the profile was incomplete, Dr. Whitaker said that it was because of the poor quality of the DNA, and continued, quote, "It's broken down because of its age, or because bacteria has affected the integrity of the DNA." Subsequently, in 2022, the witness said that he received an email from Dr. Kristen O'Connor with a file containing a separate DNA profile, which had been developed at FSI using a black beanie hat seized from Noel Long. Dr. Whitaker said that he compared the profile from the vaginal slide with the profile from the beanie hat, and that both profiles matched. He said that the probability that the DNA on the vaginal slide came from someone unrelated to the hat owner was, quote, 1 in 23,000. Forensic scientist Dr. Dorothy Ramsbottom gave evidence backing up Dr. Whitaker's findings. Dr. Ramsbottom said that she was asked to offer her opinion on a match between the material on the vaginal swab and Noel Long's hat, based on the Irish population. In this context, Dr. Ramsbottom estimated that it was at least 20,000 times more likely that the DNA from the vaginal swab matched the owner of the DNA on the beanie hat than an unrelated person, based on the database of the Irish population. Under cross-examination, senior counsel Michael Delaney asked the witness what the likelihood ratio would be if a full profile obtained from the semen on the vaginal swab had matched the profile from the beanie hat. Dr. Ramsbottom said that were there a match between two full profiles, it would be 100,000 million times more likely. The final witness in the state's case was Detective Garda David Barrett of Bandon Garda Station, who recounted charging Noel Long with the murder of Nora Sheehan on June 28, 2022. Under cross from the defence, Detective Garda Barrett agreed with Michael Delaney that he had undertaken an extensive search across 7 Garda stations in an attempt to recover exhibits in the case. He said that 281 exhibits that were recorded from the investigation could not be located. These lost items included Nora Sheehan's blue and white flowered dress, her navy coat, and her shoe. At the conclusion of Detective Garda Barrett's evidence, Brendan Grehan told the jury that the prosecution had completed its evidence. Michael Delaney, defending, then addressed the court to say that an issue of law had arisen, which would take 2 days in the absence of the jury. This centered around a motion by the defence to have the case thrown out because of the extensive amount of time that had passed between the murder and the effort to bring Noel Long to trial. Michael Delaney argued that the case could have been brought following the introduction of the Criminal Evidence Act in 1992, which would have allowed for the inclusion of Dr. Coakley's post-mortem report. It was also pointed out that the Serious Crime Review team had undertaken their review in 2008, yet it had taken a further 15 years to bring proceedings against Noel Long. After consideration, Justice Paul McDermott ruled against the motion, and the defence proceeded with their case. The defence case leaned heavily on evidence from former state pathologist Dr. Mary Cassidy, who was called by Michael Delaney as an expert witness. Dr. Cassidy told the jury that she was asked in 2008 by officers attached to the Serious Crime Review team to review the findings of Dr. Coakley in relation to the murder of Nora Sheehan. She said she was provided with Dr. Coakley's typed and partly handwritten report, along with body sketches that Dr. Coakley made notes on as he performed Nora Sheehan's post-mortem. Dr. Cassidy reviewed these items and prepared a report for Gardaí in 2010, along with an additional report in 2013, which addressed various hypotheses provided by investigating officers. Under questioning from Michael Delaney, the former state pathologist said that Nora Sheehan's cause of death was unascertained, and that there was no evidence that she was strangled. She went on to say it could not be excluded that Nora had suffered a cardiac arrhythmia during an assault, or that she could have been suffocated by her head being pressed into a bed or pillow. In the witness box, Dr. Cassidy was given a copy of Dr. Coakley's post-mortem report, which she read to the jury. She was then asked by Michael Delaney to outline the findings of her report. Dr. Cassidy said that in her opinion, it was most likely that Nora Sheehan had died elsewhere before her body was brought to Shapool Woods. She went on to say that the injury to the vagina suggested the possibility that a sexual assault had occurred. However, she noted that Dr. Coakley's report had not mentioned any ligature marks or deep bruising on the neck. There were also no injuries indicating that a weapon had been used, although the injuries to Nora's head and face did suggest some form of physical assault. Asked about the degree of force used during this assault, Dr. Cassidy replied that there was enough force to cause bruising, but not to cause damage to the skeleton. She concluded that there was no evidence to suggest that Nora Sheehan had been strangled, and despite the manner in which her dress was found around her lower face, it would not have been expected to cause her death by suffocation. Under cross-examination from the prosecution, Mr. Grehan put it to the witness that it was her opinion that Nora Sheehan had died elsewhere before being moved to Shapool Woods, and asked whether this was based on the fact Nora's body was located away from the road in dense undergrowth and that her clothes were pulled over her head. Dr. Cassidy agreed that the scratches on Nora's back suggested that she was probably dragged by the legs through the briars to where she was found. Mr. Grehan also asked Dr. Cassidy about the injuries around Nora's nose and face, and again she agreed that these injuries gave her concern as to whether Nora could have been asphyxiated. She then agreed with the prosecuting barrister that a pathologist can only go so far in terms of giving answers and that sometimes it's not possible to determine exactly how a death came about. Brendan Grehan then posed two possible scenarios, saying, quote, "You can't exclude asphyxia by either of the two methods, hands on the face and nose or the face being pushed into a pillow, causing breathing to stop." Dr. Cassidy agreed that either of these scenarios couldn't be proved or disproved. In his re-examination, Mr. Delaney, defending, asked Dr. Cassidy how hard it would be to smother an adult, to which she replied that it would be quite difficult. She went on to say, quote, "To put a hand over someone's face, for whatever reason, people will fight back against it, and it is very difficult to sustain the pressure for that length of time." She then repeated her finding that Nora Sheehan's cause of death was unascertained. On August 2nd, after almost 3 weeks in the courtroom, Brendan Grehan gave his closing speech to the jury. He told them that the evidence pointed to the, quote, "inescapable conclusion that Nora Sheehan met her death at the hands of Noel Long." The barrister said that the prosecution's case was built on two planks, the forensic evidence and the DNA profiling. He revisited the pathologist's report, reminding the jury of the injuries that Nora suffered and the callous way her body had been dumped. The prosecuting counsel asserted, quote, "she'd received a beating, and there is no other logical inference. Apart from being found with her private parts exposed, she had bruising inside her vagina and a swab revealed the presence of sperm there." The jury, said Mr. Grehan, were being asked to draw the inference that sometime after the last sighting of Nora Sheehan, she somehow came to be in Noel Long's car. She was then physically and sexually assaulted before being killed, either in the course of that assault or to cover up the crime. The senior counsel acknowledged the fact that nobody could determine exactly what caused Nora's death and that they could only say that she died in the circumstances outlined by Dr. Coakley in his report. The state's case was that the person who caused the injuries to Nora was also responsible for causing her death, and that the circumstances surrounding her death indicated that the intent was there to cause serious injury. Mr. Grehan informed the jury that the field of suspects was greatly narrowed down before the evidence was even addressed in the case. The presence of sperm in Nora Sheehan's body suggested that the perpetrator was a man, and that the isolation of where her body was found suggested that this man must have had some kind of transport. The barrister recounted evidence given by Donald Boyle, who said that on the evening of June 6th, Noel Long had called to his house in Toher, about a kilometre away from where Nora Sheehan was last seen. According to Mr. Boyle, Long had been driving his Opel Kadett. Brendan Grehan said that these factors meant that Noel Long, quote, "belongs in the suspect pool." He then recalled the forensic evidence found in the Opel Kadett and the matching evidence that was recovered from Nora Sheehan's body and clothing. He insisted, quote, "she was in that car." The senior counsel then called to mind the DNA match made between the partial profile from the vaginal swab and the profile developed from Noel Long's beanie hat. This was a matter of great significance, he said, especially when supported by the fact that Long was in the area where Nora was last seen, and there was evidence to suggest that she had been in his car. He went on to say that it could not be a coincidence that all of these matters collided together, and he asked the jury how much coincidence they could stomach. Brendan Grehan then summed up his speech, telling the court that all of the evidence pointed in one direction, and the inescapable conclusion was that Nora Sheehan was murdered by Noel Long. Michael Delaney, defending, began his closing speech by pointing out the lack of definitive cause of death. There was an assumption, he said, that they were dealing with a case of murder. However, one of the most significant issues the jury would have to decide would be whether what happened was a murder at all. Referring to the time between Nora Sheehan's death and the trial, Mr. Delaney said that many witnesses had no proper recollection of the events without consulting the statements they had given at the time. In particular, he alluded to one retired Garda who could not answer any question on the stand without scanning his notes. Defense counsel stated, quote, "The situation was almost comical, but there is nothing comical about a 74-year-old man being on trial for murder." Mr. Delaney also criticized the handling of evidence, saying that the failure to preserve exhibits from the investigation was, quote, "truly shocking." He further noted, quote, "With the exception of the slide archive, everything else was lost." This was a huge issue because the loss of the remainder of the vaginal swab prevented the defense team from independently verifying the results of the DNA testing. Delaney claimed that the case was wholly dependent on forensic science, and there was nothing else to connect Noel Long to Nora Sheehan. However, there had been no forensic evidence left for the defense to examine. Regarding the DNA evidence, defense counsel said that the jury were being asked to place an enormous amount of trust in science. He alleged that the prosecution had overstated the significance of the match from the partial profile and the profile from Noel Long's hat. Because of this, Mr. Delaney had asked the jury to be skeptical and to carefully scrutinize the DNA evidence. In reference to the paint particles and fibers found on the Opel Kadett, counsel said that they were not in any way unusual or distinctive, and so there was no huge significance to the similar particles being found on Nora Sheehan's clothing. Michael Delaney reminded the jury about Dr. Mary Cassidy's evidence. She deemed Nora's cause of death to be unascertained, and although she had put forward a possibility that asphyxia could have been the cause, this was not at all definitive. Mr. Delaney argued that this possibility was very far from beyond a reasonable doubt. The defense barrister then recalled Dr. Cassidy's statement that a heart attack due to cardiac arrhythmia could not be ruled out. The former pathologist said that the force used on Nora was no more than moderate, and Mr. Delaney highlighted this to the jury, asking, quote, "Does a person striking physical blows with no weapon intend to cause serious injury? We suggest not." He went on to claim that the prosecution had failed to prove the intent required for murder, and in those circumstances, the most a jury could consider was a verdict of manslaughter. There were significant gaps in the prosecution's case, he said, and the evidence fell well below the required amount to deem Noel Long guilty of murder. At the conclusion of the closing speeches, Mr. Justice McDermott gave his charge to the jury, telling them that they could not allow emotion to dictate the judgment they had to make. He said, quote, "Any revulsion or prejudice that is engendered by the facts of this case have to be left outside the door." Speaking of the prosecution's contention that the evidence led to the, quote, "irresistible conclusion that Noel Long murdered Nora Sheehan," Mr. Justice McDermott explained, quote, "You must be satisfied that the inference drawn from the combined evidence is warranted, and whether it establishes the guilt of the accused beyond a reasonable doubt." Throughout the trial, the defense team made numerous references to the amount of time taken to bring the case to trial, but the judge now reminded the jury that there was no statute of limitations for murder in Ireland. Mr. Justice McDermott said, quote, "Everyone is entitled to a trial within reasonable expedition. This case gives rise to the obvious problem that people die and are not available to give evidence. The principal thing to bear in mind is that it is much more difficult for a person to meet a case that's an old one than one that occurs in the recent past." The judge went on to criticize the loss of more than 280 exhibits, saying it was not something that should happen in the normal run of things. This loss of evidence had given rise to the defense team's inability to verify DNA found on the vaginal swab. The judge told the jury that whether the evidence was weakened by not being available for the defense to examine was a matter for the 11 of them to decide. The judge told the jury that they should consider whether the delay in testing the vaginal slide affected the reliability of the evidence. He reminded them that the central matter for their deliberation was the offense of murder, and they must be satisfied beyond a reasonable doubt that Noel Long unlawfully killed Nora Sheehan with the intention to kill or cause serious injury. If they concluded that Nora had died in the course of an assault without the intent to kill, the judge said that this reduced the case to manslaughter. Justice McDermott concluded his charge by identifying three possible verdicts for the jury, which were guilty of murder, guilty of manslaughter, or not guilty. He informed the 11 jurors that they needed to be unanimous in their verdict before sending them out to deliberate. After a short time behind closed doors, the foreman returned and handed the judge a note, asking if there was a diagram of the injuries to Nora Sheehan that the jury could review. Justice Paul McDermott told him that the actual diagram was not available for them to view, but he could recap the evidence already heard in relation to the injuries if they wanted him to. However, the jury declined this offer. Ultimately, after 5.5 hours of deliberation, the jury unanimously found Noel Long guilty of the murder of Nora Sheehan. In sentencing, the court heard that Long had 31 previous convictions spanning 50 years, from 1966 to 2016. He was given a mandatory life sentence. It was the oldest murder prosecution in Irish history and was a landmark victory for the state and for the many detectives and Gardaí who had worked on the case over the years. More than anything, it was justice for the family and loved ones of Nora Sheehan. In an emotional victim impact statement, Nora's granddaughter, Katie, said that her grandmother was kind, compassionate, opinionated, and much loved. Katie said, quote, "Those connected to Nora think about her almost every day. Unfortunately, we have been unable to think about her many wonderful qualities very often, and the horrendous circumstances surrounding her death is what had occupied our thoughts these past 42 years. She added, quote, "We hope that we can now begin the process of dealing with what happened to our mother and go on to live the remainder of our lives at peace and begin to remember Nora for the quirky, feisty, glamorous woman she was." In the aftermath of Long's conviction, his past history as a violent offender emerged. An article published in the Corkman alleged that he was linked to a string of attacks on sex workers in the early 1990s, during which the victims were beaten so badly that they were hospitalized with severe injuries. However, the women declined to make statements against Long out of fear. Less than a month after he was jailed for life, Noel Long's legal team lodged an appeal against his conviction. As of June 2024, this appeal has yet to be heard, nor has any date for such an appeal been set. Nora Sheehan's family have spoken candidly about their 42-year wait for justice and how they had to live their lives with the knowledge that Long was living close by the entire time. Granddaughter Katie said that it was hard to convey in words the hurt the family had carried over 4 decades, the legacy of which carries on to a new generation. Despite this, Katie is optimistic that their victory will give hope to families of other cold case victims. Appearing on RTE's Primetime, she told journalist Barry Cummins, quote, "I'm hoping there's some good coming to somebody else, that they can get the relief that we have. It's never too late to get justice for your loved ones." Thank you for listening to Mens Rea, a true crime podcast. Find us on socials at Mens Rea Pod or email mensreapod@gmail.com. Thanks goes out to all our lovely patrons. You really do keep this show on the road. This episode was researched and written by the lovely Aileen Spearin. Additional writing and production was by me, your host, Sinead. Our theme song is The Dance Begins by Kevin MacLeod. Additional music is by Juanita Meisel and Kevin MacLeod. And so, till next time, don't do anything I wouldn't do.